In the Bible this morning, Romans 15, if you got your Bible this morning, if you'd grab that out, I know the guys upstairs, they are going to try to have some of these verses up there. I see you, Brother Colby, thank you. And man, 50th wedding anniversary, he was up there, you guys couldn't see him, he's up there going, and his wife next to him is going, no, no, I'm just kidding, she wasn't doing that. And praise the Lord, it is good to be here. I love coming to church on a Sunday morning. I always get a pep in my step. That's before the Mountain Dew, by the way. Always got a pep in a step. Sunday morning here at God's house, man. I'd rather be here than anywhere else. Rather be here than out hunting. I'd definitely rather be here than watching football because my fantasy team stinks this year. I'd rather be here at church. Amen. If you got your Bibles, we're in Romans 15 this morning. Would you stand to your feet this morning if you're able? We're going to read God's Word. Hey, Christian, can I tell you something? Don't forget how amazing this book is. This is not just a book. We have a school here. You walk into the rooms, you'll see bookshelves. There's none on it like this one. This is God's Word. People bled for it, died for it. Wars have been fought so we could have the freedom to worship it like we are this morning. Amen. This book has been picked apart, looked at, examined, tried to be disproved and proved by Christian atheists alike more than any other book in the world, and you get to hold it freely this morning here in Beaver Creek, Oregon. As we read it this morning, would you realize that we're reading God's Word to you? To you, to me. Let's read it together if you would. Romans chapter 15, look at these verses. We're going to go verses 14 through 22 this morning. Verse 14, the Bible says, let's rewind. Verse 13, can I do that? Am I allowed? I'm doing it. Verse 13, the Bible says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Verse 15, nevertheless, brethren, I've written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God. Verse 16, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. Verse 19, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I might be pronouncing that wrong, okay? Whatever pastor says, that's what we go with, okay? I have fully preached the gospel of Christ, yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. By the way, me and Brother Vessel didn't plan this, but watch verse 21 as I read it. Remember that story he said about that missionary going to the tribes who've never heard? Look at what Apostle Paul says. Verse 21, as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. And they that have not heard shall understand. Apostle Paul's heart was that missionary heart, taking the gospel. We didn't plan that. That's the Holy Spirit. Verse 22, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. And this morning, as we've been going through our Romans series, by the way, we are almost done. We started, I think, Roman series. We were out still in the parking lot. How many remember that? Out in the parking lot. And I got sunburned. I preached the one day. This beautiful forehead got a little bit too sunny. And we were out there, started Romans. We have chapter 15. We're halfway done with it. And then we get to 16. And most of 16's names, which, whoa, I hope Pastor preaches that one. We'll hear the pronunciations right. And then we'll be done. We'll be starting a Christmas series. So this morning, we're going to be looking at verses 14 through 22. I want to talk to you about this. The plan of the minister of God. The minister of God and God's plan for him. And let's have a word of prayer, and then we will get into it. Dear Heavenly Father, God above, as we meet here this morning, Lord, I think about the churches around the country and around this world who today, God, are worshiping you as well. They're meeting together. God, help all of us, the Christians here in Beaver Creek, Oregon, and around the world. Lord, help us all to grow spiritually this morning as we go to church and as we listen to your word. God, if I wasn't even to preach this morning with all the wonderful singing, the wonderful testifying we've heard, Lord, we could leave feeling like, God, you were with us. But Lord, as I preach this morning, would you help us? Would you speak through it and use it, God? We love you. In your precious name, amen. You may be seated. I am so excited Here we go. Now, as we get into this morning, I want us to understand, and I'm not going to re-preach what's been going on, but Paul is once again addressing this Jew-Gentile salvation controversy. The gospel, of course, has gone to the Gentiles, and there's a big question, especially amongst the Jewish people feeling like they're God's chosen people, is salvation for the Gentiles? Can they even be saved? Of course, Paul has answered that question, and the answer is yes, they can be saved. But as he continues, if you would, look at verse 13. He writes to the Gentiles in Rome here, and he says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." You can understand for these Gentile believers, these new Christians, these new converts, how difficult it would have been when they're hearing things like you might not be saved. Like maybe salvation wasn't for you. But Paul reminds them, hey, you can have hope and joy in Christ because you are saved. Before I get into the actual message, I want to give you the greatest message that ever has been given. Jesus Christ died for all. For all. For the world. Doesn't matter this morning what skin color you are. Doesn't matter what ethnicity you are. Doesn't matter how you look. Doesn't matter what you did in the past. I'm here to tell you this morning, Jesus Christ died for your sins. He died for me and he died for you. By the way, that's been his plan forever. You look at Acts chapter 1:8, the Bible said the gospel would go to Jerusalem, right? That was in that city. The Bible then said it would go into Judea. That was the region around the city. It then said it would go to Samaria. Samaria was the region outside of Judea that they didn't like. By the way, God loves them. God loves even the unlovable people. And then he said it would go to the uttermost parts of the world. We here in the United States of America, in the corner, Beaver Creek, Oregon, we are far away from the Middle East this morning. But hey, the gospel has reached us, and he died for me and you. Aren't you glad this morning he did? By the way, can I tell you this morning, if you're here this morning and have never put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to tell you something. He died for you because he loved you. And he wants you to be saved. And he wants you to spend an eternity in heaven. And if I could have our other Christian brothers and sisters come up, if they were to give you just one thought, they would probably tell you this. Trust Jesus as your Savior. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never trusted him. Before you leave today, maybe you'd make a decision that you would allow Jesus Christ to come in your heart and that he would save you. By the way, we would celebrate with you. We know, we understand, we remember before we got saved, and we certainly know after, praise the Lord. But Jesus Christ died for all. So as we get into this, Paul, right into the Gentiles specifically here, in Rome, these believers, he wanted them to realize, hey, your salvation is good, it's great, you can be saved, and you are saved. And so he starts out with that. And now I want to look at the next verse. Now, this morning, I got to be honest with you, okay? You ready for honesty? It is church, right? We got to be honest, okay? 3 pages of notes. Now, don't panic. Some of you just had a mini heart attack, okay? Brother Colby, I see you up there, okay? Brother Colby's... I'm just kidding. He ain't doing that, okay? We're going to go quick. Now, I'm going to give you a mini sermon. I don't know if that's legal, but I'm doing it. Mini sermon. Look at the next verse. In verse 14, Paul's going to look at the church of Rome, and he compliments them. He commends them. And as I read this, of course, we've got a lot of verses to get to, but I thought, that's a pretty great sermon. If I had time, I'd just preach this the whole time. But I can't. Mini sermon. Now look at the verse. The Bible says this, "And I myself also am persuaded of you." That's a pretty powerful statement. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest missionaries ever, one who wrote half the New Testament, he looks at the Church of Rome and he says, I want to tell you some things that are good and that you're excelling at it. And really, you challenge me is what he's saying. Look what he says. And I hope this morning, as we look at this, I hope this is Grandview Baptist Church. And I hope the same thing they excelled years ago, thousands of years ago, that we could say of ourselves here. Look what he says. He says that ye also are full of goodness. Full of goodness. Now, we all know what the word full means, right? If you've ever been to a buffet, amen, you know what full means. If you've ever taken a bucket of water and you put a hose in there and it started to overflow, right? You know what full is. And Paul looked at the church of Rome and he said, you know, you're full of goodness. Goodness is going the extra mile for people. Goodness is doing the right thing, and goodness is treating people the correct way. The Apostle Paul says, one thing that you challenge me to do as a church is when I look at you, I'm challenged to be full of doing good. It overflows. It comes out. They couldn't help it. And as I looked at this verse, I thought, man, I hope that's Grandview Baptist Church. I hope the members of this church are known here in the community as good people, looking to help others out, looking to go the extra mile. By the way, not just here in church, although, hey, here in church, it'd be good if we were good to each other. But even outside of these church doors, that we are good to those people and kind to those people and willing to go the extra mile for people that other people would look at and go, hey, look at that. I've often told our teenagers here, I said, hey, if you're going to get a job around the church, make sure that you do a good job. Because if you're working at McDonald's and you're a good worker, tell them you're from Grandview Baptist Church. But if you ain't, tell them you're from somewhere else. Because I believe that Christians ought to be full of good and looking to do good towards others. But look what he says next. He goes on, he says, filled with all knowledge. Now, this knowledge, you can maybe argue with me later, that's fine. I think he's talking about biblical spiritual knowledge. Can I maybe put it simpler? Knowing God's word. The signs of a healthy church is, do the church people know God's word? Do they know God's word? If you come to our church on a service, guess what we do? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we preach God's word. We're teaching God's word. Why do you have Sunday school for adults? I mean, it's called school. Do adults still go to school? We have Sunday school here at Grandview Baptist Church. You want to know why? We're trying to teach Bible knowledge. Bible knowledge. I think one of the signs of a healthy church is a church who's full of knowledge. By the way, I'm all for praising and worshiping Jesus. I was praising and worshiping this chair a few minutes ago. Amen? But I also think that not only do I need to praise and worship him, I need to know what he said to me. And I need to study it. And I need to let it work in my life. And so there's this knowledge as well. Look what he says next. This is, by the way, the mini sermon. I'm going quick. Whew. The end of verse 14, he says, able also to admonish one another. Now that word admonish is not a word we use often. It's a word that means to caution or to warn. Can I give you a Bible example of it? I'll race you. Here we go. Bible drill. When you're there, say amen. Colby, no using the computer. He cheated at 8:30 service. Here we go. Acts 27. Go. When you're there, say amen. Amen. I may have had a bookmark there, okay? Anyway, Acts 27. Look at verse 9. Here's a Bible example of that word admonish. It'll make it clear. The Bible says in verse 9, now when much time was spent and was sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past. By the way, the Bible can rhyme too. The fast was already past. Amen. Paul admonished them. That word admonish. Now look what it goes on. Verse 10, it says, and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt and much damage. It was in this passage, remember, the apostle Paul has been arrested and he's on a ship headed from place to place. And Paul said, hey, fellas, I want to warn you. If we continue on this ship, the ship is going to be destroyed. And if we're in the ship and the ship is destroyed, that doesn't look very good for us. He gives them this caution. He gives them this warning. By the way, they didn't listen, remember? They didn't listen to Paul's warning. They went out, ship got wrecked. And Paul said, hey, let me give you some life advice. God promised I'd get to Rome. If you stay with me, you won't die because I'm not going to die here because God said I'm getting to Rome. But if you leave me, good luck. Right? Paul gave them this admonishment, this warning. And can I tell you, as a church, we have to make sure that we're able to warn others. Hey, I'm a teen pastor. You know what I do every time I work with the teenagers? Admonish. Hey, young person, you can either live for God, and here's what it'll look like, or you cannot, and here's what it's going to look like. I can't make a single teenager here at Grandview. I know parents, you're like, brother, you didn't make them do the right. I can't. I've tried. I can't make them do it. It has to be their decision. God gives us a free will, right? These free choices. We have to make those decisions, but I certainly can warn them. Hey, you don't want to go down that road. You don't want to take that path. That path, yes, let's take that. Let's take that. And so a church is supposed to admonish. Isn't it interesting they all fit together? When you start knowing what the Bible says and you have this right here, all of a sudden you look at people a different way, right? And you want to treat people the right way. And because you want to be good to them, you're also willing to warn them when stuff's coming down the road that maybe they don't see. It's kind of like if the bridge was out, right? If the bridge was out, do you just keep driving? Or do you stop and say, hey, just want to let you know before you drive off the bridge is closed. Hey, they might ignore you, right? But better to have given the warning than to know you didn't warn anyone of the danger that was coming. And so Paul mentions this. Now, that was the mini sermon. Everybody take a deep breath. Okay. Am I still legal? Am I right? We still got some time, okay? That was the mini sermon. Now the main sermon. This is what you've been waiting for. I know. That was the appetizer. Have you ever been to a restaurant, the appetizer? Okay. That was the pretzels and cheese dip appetizer, amen, right there. All right. Some of you don't like, some are like, ew. Okay. Go back to Romans 15. Look at verse number 16. I want you to catch this. Paul's going to transition. As you read, remember, this is a letter from Paul to the Roman believers. Paul opens his heart here. Now, we know this. Paul was called to preach the gospel. He testifies of that. Multiple verses, multiple passages that Paul felt God had called him to preach the gospel, to be in ministry. But here he gets even more specific. And as he's writing to the Gentile, mostly the Gentile believers in Rome, he says, not only do I feel called to preach the gospel, but I feel called to preach it to the Gentiles. Now, this is important because I'm here this morning and I want you to understand, and I believe this. And there's not a week that goes by that I don't tell a teenager or group of teenagers this. I believe this with my whole heart. God has a plan. God has a will. God has a path for every single person on planet Earth. Every teenager here at our church, I will look at them and I can say it as honest and open as possible. I look at them and say, I don't know God's plan, but I know He's got one for you. I know He does. But can I say this? God's plan doesn't end when you're 18. I don't care if you're 20. I don't care if you're 29. I know, beautiful. 29, 30, 40, 50, I don't care. God has a plan for your life. By the way, you read this book. A lot of times God called people later in life. A lot of times God moved people in the Bible to different things. God's plan would change for them, and they weren't 18. I believe God has a plan for all of us. And this morning, as we look at this, here's the main sermon I want to look at. Paul's going to tell us what God's plan was for him. And I want you to look at it, because we're going to look at some ways that you know you're doing what God wants you to do. We're going to look at some things that maybe say you're not doing what God wants you to do. We're going to look at some indicators on how to know if you're on and doing God's plan for your life, okay? Now look what he says. Verse number 15, he says, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind," he's thinking about them, "because of the grace that is given to me of God," verse 16, "that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." Paul here mentions that not only does he feel called to preach the gospel, but he feels called to reach these Gentile people. And I want you to notice, number one, I got six thoughts. Stay with me. Number one, God's plan always brings joy and happiness to the one who does it. God's plan always brings joy and happiness to the one who does it. You read these verses again, and if you were to read on your own later today, and you really put yourself in Paul's shoes as he writes, you could almost see the words coming through the pages that Paul is happy with what he's doing. And can I tell you this? If you want to be happy in life, happiness does not come by you doing what you want in life. The world thinks it does. The world thinks that if I just do what I want to do, if I just make enough money, if I'm just famous enough, that it's all I'm going to be happy, 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 and that is not true. But I'm here to tell you this morning, true happiness and true joy always comes when you are doing what God puts you on this planet to do. Paul loved preaching. I believe Paul loved teaching. I believe Paul loved leading people to the Lord. I believe Paul loved baptizing people. I believe he loved traveling. I believe he loved writing. By the way, we have some of Paul's letters here, but do you know he wrote other letters to the churches that God did not want in the Bible? He loved writing to these churches to try to help them out. He loved helping them because he felt fulfilled. And I'll tell you what brings true joy, happiness, satisfaction in life. It's not doing what you want. It's doing what God wants you to do. Doing what God wants you to do. The Bible says this, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." I'll tell you this, you want to be happy? Do what God wants you to do. Stop walking down your road and start walking down his. And all of a sudden, it's amazing how much better it gets. Can I tell you this morning, the other side of the coin is this, though. It's never going to be easy. God's plan in life is not always easy. Think about the Apostle Paul. He knew God's plan was to reach the Gentile people in these cities. But there was nothing easy about that. You got your Bible? Let's do another Bible drill. Amen when you're there. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. Amen. Oh, someone got me. Brother Justin, was that you? You lied, didn't you? You lied in church. That's all. Pray for Brother Justin. Forgive him, Lord. Amen. 2 Corinthians 11. Here we go. Verse number 23. I want you to notice what Paul says. 23. Are they ministers of Christ? Paul says, I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above men. You say, what is he talking about, stripes? He's talking about getting whipped. I don't know about you. Doesn't sound fun. Look what he says next. In prisons more frequent. To use the word frequent, being thrown into jail for preaching the gospel, is not something I'm looking for in life, okay? He said, in deaths off. I'll let you figure that one out. Verse 24, he says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. That's 39 times 5. I'll let you math majors do the math on that, but I'll tell you this, it equals a lot. A lot. He goes on, thrice was I beaten with rods. Fun stuff here. Fun stuff. Fun stuff. Once was I stoned. Yeah, really fun. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day have I been in the... By the way, to me, I look at that list and I think that might be the worst. Because I'm afraid of sharks. Don't drop me in the ocean for a night and a day. That ain't going to do... I'm not liking that. That's not cool. All I'm here to say is this. It wasn't easy for Paul. God's plan was not easy. But yet you read verses where Paul says, I joyed in my suffering, right? He was happy in the affliction. You say, how in the world can you go through this and be happy about it? Because he knew he was doing what God wanted him to do. And I'm here to tell you today, doing God's plan always brings joy and happiness in your life. Maybe you're here this morning and your life, you feel unfulfilled. You feel unsatisfied. Could I ask you this question? Could it be that you're not doing what God wants you to do? Could it be? I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it's not. Only you know. I'm not God in your life and I certainly can't see your heart. But I'll tell you this, if you have no joy and feel no satisfaction, could it be that you're not doing what God wants you to do? Let's dig deeper. Stay with me now. Number 2, God's plan brings glory to God. Look at verse 17, back in chapter 15, if you would. Verse 17, the Bible says this, I therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God, for I will not dare to speak any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. Paul realized that by him following God's plan, God received the glory. Every sermon Paul preached, God got the glory. Every lesson he taught, God got the glory. Every encouraging word he gave, God got the glory. Every new church he started, God got the glory. Are you with me? Every new convert he saw saved. It wasn't about him, it was about God. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you are not put on this earth to do whatever you wanted. You were put on this earth for God's plan. And God's plan is always glorifying him. Glorifying him. I'll tell you what, Christian, you'll have a lot of your problems in life solved if you would just ask this question, am I glorifying God? I talked to the teenagers this week and I said, hey, are you glorifying God? And they looked at me like I was a crazy lunatic. I said, well, let's ask a few questions, okay? If Jesus were with you, would he be okay with the music you're listening to? I said, hey, would you be okay if you watched the movie that you watched and he was in the room with you? See, I'll tell you what, we start getting a base level here. You want to glorify God, well, is he okay with it? Glorifying God. And God's plan always brings glory. You got your Bible? Another Bible drill. Brother Justin, no lying. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Amen. I was close. Brother Joel, come on, man. Verse 31, the Bible says this, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. This morning, God's plan always brings glory to him. The Apostle Paul was well known. I think we could agree with that, but I don't think he cared. Don't think that was his plan. Because I'll tell you this, there's a lot easier ways to get famous than get beat up all the time. Right? If Paul wanted to be well... Oh, can I also add this? He already was well known before he ever became a Christian. Everyone knew who Saul of Tarsus was, the guy who was walking around killing people. Right? They knew him. He was already famous. Not for good things, but he was famous. I'm here to tell you, God's plan brings glory to God. In your life, are you giving God the glory? Is he getting the glory? We have to ask ourselves that question. Number 3. Oh boy. Number 3, verse 19, back in Romans 15. says this, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Number three, God's plan usually brings miraculous things. How do I know, Brother TD, I'm doing what God wants me to do? Are you seeing miracles? Are you seeing God work? Are you seeing things you can't explain? Are opportunities coming up that you're like, whoa, 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 I did not see that coming. That's awesome. Because I'm telling you, when you're doing God's plan, all of a sudden, miraculous things start happening. Paul felt called, remember, Paul felt called to the Gentile people, right? As he's traveling, he's doing miracles. Remember the story of Eutychus? The boy who fell asleep, and by the way, don't fall asleep in church. Eutychus, read your Bible, Eutychus, fell asleep. By the way, if you're going to fall asleep in church, do not do it in the window. This is life stuff, write it down, okay? Fell asleep in the window, you know the story, falls out the window. I've always asked this question, did Paul stop preaching? Because a Baptist preacher would have just kept going, well, deal with the kid later, right? Deal with him later. Don't know, you can correct my Greek later, okay? I don't know. Anyway, he goes down, right? He heals him, and everyone in church is like, whoa. Can I tell you, when you're doing God's plan, you're going to see miracles start happening. You're going to see situations that come up, and you're like, whoa, I didn't see that happening. I must be doing what God wants me to do. One of my favorite sermons pastor preaches, he preaches it all the time, is when he gets up here and he goes on a rabbit trail, and the rabbit trail is this. Let me tell you what God's been doing. He'll start giving miracle after miracle. I mean, we didn't see the answer here. Miracle. We didn't know how to fix it. Miracle. You know why that's happening? Because our pastor is leading the church in the right direction. And when a church is heading in the right direction, when a person is heading in the right direction, when they're doing God's plan, all of a sudden, miracles start taking place. Amen. Amen. Many of you could attest to that. By the way, the opposite is true when you're not in God's will. Instead of it easy, it's difficult. Nothing seems to work. Look at Jonah. Jonah ran from God. What happened? A storm. Guys threw him overboard. Then a big fish swallows him up. Then he gets off. He goes, sits under the tree. Then God takes the tree away from him. When you're following God's plan, it's easy. Didn't the Bible say that, take upon my yoke and it's easy, my burden is light? When you're doing God's plan, all of a sudden miracles start coming up. Number four, I'm going quick. Stay with me. Don't go to sleep like Eutychus. I'm just kidding. All right. Number four, look at verse 20. Or sorry, the end of verse 19. Paul says this. Interesting. He says, I have fully preached the gospel. I have fully preached the gospel. Paul felt like he had fully preached the gospel. Now this is maybe talking about, does it mean like the complete gospel, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ? In which case I would say, yes, he definitely preached all of that. Could it be that he's referring to the regions, the places? And I think that's probably the more accurate description. Paul felt like as he's gone from city to city to city to town to town to town, he's doing what God wanted him to do. He's reached as many people as he possibly can. And he did it his whole life until it ended. He had fully preached the gospel. Also, we think about the verses where he said, I've fought a good fight. He says, I've finished my course, right? I've kept the faith. All these things. Paul fully preached the gospel. Can I tell you this morning, God's plan is never 50-50. God's plan is never 50-50. If God wants you to do something, you got to do it. It's no different than a mom or a dad who says, hey, son, take the trash out. And your kid takes the trash and he puts it on the front steps. And you're like, well, what is he doing? Why did he put it on the front steps? It needs to be in the trash can.
Well, I took it outside.
You'd say, oh, you didn't obey me. You half obeyed me. You didn't completely obey me. And guess what half obedience is? Disobedience. Right? Guess what incomplete obedience is? Disobedience. And I'm here to tell you this morning, when it comes to God's will, there is no 50-50. If God wants you to do something, you've got to fully do it and you've got to commit to do it. God calls you to teach a Sunday school class. You come to Brother Malucci. You say, Brother Malucci, I believe God has spoken my heart. I believe he's calling me to teach Sunday school class. Brother Malucci says, certainly, you can teach them all. And he says, awesome, right? And then the person says, you know what? God's called me to teach Sunday school. I don't want to do that, but I will buy Sunday school snacks for the kids. Now, is buying Sunday school snacks for the kids good? Well, yeah. But is it doing what God wants you to do? No. No. And when it comes to God's plan, it has to be done fully. I'm not going to duplicate it this morning, although it would be quite funny. I was in a sermon one time, or at a service, and big auditorium full of people. I was sitting like midway back, and the preacher was preaching, and boy, he was preaching. And I'll never forget it. As he's preaching, all of a sudden he points to the front row, and there were some college guys sitting on the front row, and he starts yelling at them, "Hey, come here. And of course, they're like, okay. This is the middle of the sermon. He's yelling, "Get up here, come here. Doesn't say it, and then all of a sudden, the guy just stage dives. It was like Free Willy at SeaWorld, man. Good night. Okay? He just dives off the stage. Of course, these dudes who just stood up have no idea what's going on. They didn't drop him. Some of you thought you were going to drop him. No, they caught him, duh. They're like, you know. They catch him. They look at him. Of course, what else do you do? Like, thanks, bro. Like, nah, you know, he's suit and tie, jumped right in their laps, you know. And he's like, put me back up. So they put him back up. And he said this. That is committing to the Lord. See, it's not about if he catches you or not. If God calls you to do something, you've got to jump. You got to jump. By the way, can I say this? God will never let you hit the floor. If God calls you to do something, you'd be foolish to not jump. He's got a plan. He's got a path. You just got to trust him. Yesterday I went hunting. It was real foggy. You ever been out in the fog? I was driving a boat in the middle of the night in thick fog. Brother Cameron on his app is my navigator. Dear Lord, help us all, right? I'm driving. I can't see more than 10 yards. Brother Cameron's like, "We got to go that way." I'm like, "I don't know what way that is. There's nothing. I can't see anything," right? Just driving. Here we go. Just could hit a tree. Could hit a land with camera. Could hit a city. I don't know. You know, just he's leading me here. Brother Cameron, he's like, "I'm never doing navigation for you again." Driving through the fog. Can I say this? We got to the destination. Even though I couldn't see, we had the path. We had the map. And I'm telling you this, as you go through God's plan, sometimes it's pretty foggy. You go, "I don't know what God's doing. I know he's called me to this. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't see how it's going to work." But if you'll just keep following him, you'll just keep following him. Eventually, can I say this? I've learned this about fog. It always goes away eventually. It always rises. And then you can see clear once again. But you've got to keep trusting him. You've got to fully commit to doing what he wants you. Can I tell you this? Every success that you've ever had, there was a risk of failure. Can I tell you this? Every victory you've ever had, there was a chance you were going to be defeated. Every win you've ever had before the game was played, there was a chance you could have lost. Every great decision you made could have also turned out to be a really bad one. But I'm here to tell you this morning, choosing God's plan is always a win. It's always a victory. It's always a success. And it's always the greatest decision in your life. If you'll simply trust him, he'll never let you down. God's plan needs to be done fully. I've got two left and I've got 5 minutes. Verse number 20. Everyone good? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Come on. If you're still awake, touch your ear. Touch your ear. Some of you anyway, God help us all. Verse 20. The Bible says this, "Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel." I'm going to stop right there. That word strive, that's a word that we associate with another word some of us don't like. It's called work. Work. Can I tell you, God's plan always takes work. God's plan always takes work. Sometimes we think, "Well, I'm going to do what God wants me to do." Good luck, God. Nope. "Well, I'm right in the middle of your will. Take over." And God says, "No, you still got to do some work. You're still going to have to put the effort in." I researched this, and some of you have never thought, are you ready for your minds to be blown a little bit? Okay, get ready for this. I researched this, and I went, you might do so too. It has been estimated that the Apostle Paul, remember, what did he feel like God's plan was? For him to reach the Gentiles, right, to travel around. It's been estimated the Apostle Paul, on his missionary journeys, walked 10,000 miles. Now, hold up, that's not the big part. 10,000 miles, okay, that's a lot. Yeah. Somebody's like, "I ran a marathon." Okay. Just so we're clear, from Los Angeles to New York City is 2,750 miles. It is believed that Paul walked from New York to L.A., back to New York, back to L.A., and then almost all the way back four times. I don't want to walk to the mailbox. I'm here to tell you this morning, whatever God's plan is, it takes work. It takes work. It takes boots to the ground. Whatever God's called you, whether it's a secular thing you feel like God's leading you to do, whether it's a ministerial thing for those called into ministry, whatever it might be, if God's plan, if God's in it, you got to put the work in as well. God's plan isn't always easy because of the surrounding circumstances. It takes work. But can I tell you what always makes work easier? When you know why you're doing it. And when you're doing it because you know God's put you there and you know that's God's plan, work gets a whole lot easier, doesn't it? Number six, I'm done. God's plan may take you out of your comfort zone. Look at verse 20, 21. Brother Vestal gave a great illustration. Didn't even know, but he used that song story today. Verse 20, the Bible says, "Yea, so I've strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named." Paul said, I don't feel God's calling me to where the gospel is. He's calling me to where the gospel in the city where it's not there yet. He goes on, verse 21, he says, "But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. And they that have not heard about Jesus shall understand and see him." Paul felt called to reach these Gentile peoples. But can I say, it took him out of his comfort zone. Sometimes God's going to come to you in life. He's going to put something on your heart. And you're going to think, oh, I don't like that. Oh, I don't know about that. He may come knocking on your heart about your wallet. Hey, that missionary, you heard pastor. You got some money, I know. And you're like, you feel uncomfortable. He might come to you like he did when I was in seventh grade and said, hey, I want you to preach. I remember preaching my first time in front of a big crowd. I told my mom, I said, Mom, I want to take a nap. That was a lie. I went to my room, I laid under the covers, I got in the fetal position for 2 hours. I can't do it. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I didn't sleep at all. God may call you to something that is not comfortable. But can I say this? What I've found is once you get in it, once you say, all right, God, I'll do it, all of a sudden, God brings the comfort along. By the way, the Holy Spirit is the comforter, is he not? He's there to comfort you, especially when you're stepping out on faith and doing what God wants you to do. In just a few weeks, Brother Nelms will be here, one of our missionaries. A couple years ago, we got to go down to Honduras to be with Brother Nelms, me, some teenagers, and some of our staff. It was really interesting because I got there, and Brother Nelms was like walking around. He's got his like, you know, cool shirt on, you know, and I'm like, dude, you look so comfortable, you know. I'm looking around going, where even am I? I did see Little Caesars, though, when I landed the plane, so that was like I felt a little better, right? Brother Nelms is like eating all this Honduran food, and I'm going, what is it, right? He looked so comfortable, but can I say this? He wasn't comfortable when he first went to Honduras as a young missionary. But as he's gotten into God's will, all of a sudden, oh, it's not so bad. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is what God wants me to do. But until you step out on faith and trust him, you'll never know that comfort. You have to be willing to step out of your comfort zone. And Paul said, I don't want to go where the gospel is. God's called me to where it isn't. Very uncomfortable, but he did it. I'm done this morning. Before we pray, can I ask you a question? Are you in God's will this morning? Maybe some of you are here this morning, and as I've talked, you're thinking, I don't know. Maybe you're here this morning and you know God's calling you to something. You've been rejecting it. You're saying, maybe later. I don't know what the circumstance is. But can I tell you this morning, you'll never go wrong doing what God wants you to do. Make that decision this morning if you would. Let's bow for a word of prayer this morning with heads bowed, eyes closed. We're going to pray. And then we're going to end our service. But before we pray, can I ask you a simple question? I told you this morning, there's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. The greatest decision you'll ever make, hey, if you're here this morning, the greatest decision you'll ever make is the day you put your faith and trust in Jesus and you accept Him as your Savior. Can I say this? He died for all. We said it today. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior. I remember years ago when I put my faith and trust, I remember the day, I remember praying. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never done that. I'm going to lead you in a word of prayer out loud. It's not a magic prayer. You don't even have to pray exactly like this thief on the cross. He had an interesting prayer. But you need to accept Him in your heart. As I pray out loud, if you're here this morning and never accepted Jesus, would you pray and trust Him as Savior? Pray something similar to this. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I cannot save myself. But Jesus, I ask that You would come into my heart and save me and take me to heaven when I die. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I won't embarrass anyone, I promise. But I wonder if there's someone here today that would say, Brother TJ, for the first time in my life, as you prayed that prayer, I opened my heart and I asked Jesus to come in. Would you just simply testify to me and to the Lord above by raising your hand to say, you know what, I prayed that prayer and I accepted Him. Would you slip it up? You can slip it right up and right back down. Is there anyone? This morning in the 8:30 service, there was two people who trusted Jesus as their Savior. Is there anyone here this morning not sure? Oh, don't leave this morning if you're not sure. With heads bowed, eyes closed, could I ask you, are you in the will of God? Are you doing what God wants you to do? By the way, His will changes from time to time. He moves us in different directions. Are you doing what God wants you to do? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you stand to your feet this morning? With heads bowed, eyes closed, the music's going to play. If you need to do business with God, would you come forward? Maybe you're out of God's will this morning and you know it. You know it. Would you come to the front and do business? Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one looking around. If you're at your seat, would you pray? Would you take this time to connect with your Savior? Maybe you haven't prayed this week. Maybe you haven't talked to Him this week. This could be a time to do that. Maybe you're here today, you've been saved, but you've never made that public. We call it a public profession. We would love to clap for you, celebrate with you, shake your hand and tell you how awesome it is you got saved. We have some men at the front. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never been baptized. We could help you with that. The baptistry is always open here at Grandview Baptist Church. We'd love to help you and talk to you about that. Maybe you're here today and you don't have a church home. We ain't perfect, but we do love Jesus. We'd love to have you and your family be a part. For any of those reasons, the altar's open. If you're at your seat, would you bow your heads and take a minute to pray? Piano continues to play. Would you still at your seat? We have some people being dealt with. Would you continue praying, please? Let's all pray together this morning, and then Brother Justin's going to come, and he's going to close out our service. Dearly Father, we love You. God in heaven, we thank You so much for Your word, Lord. As we looked at it today, Lord, I hope that all of us, myself included, saw the Apostle Paul's heart here and how he wanted to serve You. God, we love You. We are grateful, God, for all that You've done in our lives. Lord, we ask that You would bless our church. I ask that, God, You'd be with our church people that are here this morning or even those that aren't. God, help them to live for You and walk by Your side all through their week. Lord, we love You. In Your precious name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Justin.
Okay. I mentioned this morning Jason Gallagher wanted to get back involved again in church, and so we're so excited about that. Rededicate his life to Christ, so we rejoice in that in the 8:30 service. And as Brother TJ mentioned, two different individuals accepted Christ as their Savior as well. We also have Andy Kambach and Tasha Bell right over here. Can you raise your hand? And they'd like to join our church. And they've been saved and baptized and just want to get involved. And so all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Welcome aboard. And we're so glad to have you and excited about that. Also, I wanted to mention, Johnny, where are you at, Johnny? She had a hip replacement, and she's been out for a long time, but been being very faithful online. Her birthday's today. And so we won't say how old. I teased her. I said 41 or 42. She says, I feel like that. So, but anyways, we're so glad. Happy birthday. I wanted to make mention of that since she hasn't been able to be with us for a while. So, okay, let's watch the next video and be dismissed.
Good morning and welcome to our service. We hope this morning's sermon from Romans was a blessing to you. Join us back here tonight at 5 for a powerful evening service as we hear Brother Justin Lehman continue our verse-by-verse series of the Book of Nehemiah.
Don't miss our Missions Emphasis Day, Sunday, November 7th, with Dr. John Nelms, founder of Final Frontiers, who will be speaking for us. We will be sharing updates from some of our missionaries on the field, and everyone will have an opportunity to decide how they can be involved in worldwide missions. Join us as we celebrate the work of Christ being done around the world.
There will be an overtime teen activity Sunday night, October 24th. We will meet for s'mores and games following the 5 p.m. service. The activity will end around 7 p.m.
Hey, we're so excited about our upcoming Trunk or Treat Sunday on October 31st. Many of you know this is a wonderful, exciting time for us to be a blessing in our community. I've had many people ask me, how can we help? Well, first off, you could sign up and decorate a trunk. We have a great time with it. Have a game, give away some candy. We are collecting candy as well. That would be a huge blessing. We'll have some barrels out in the foyer starting this Sunday, where if you want to stop by and get some individually wrapped candy, you can drop them off there at the foyer. Also, we have the opportunity to give towards buying candy online on our website. We're looking forward to this exciting day, and we'll hope to see you there.
We are in need of volunteers who would be willing to help in our children or junior high ministries. The time slots are needed throughout Sunday school, 11 a.m. service, and Wednesday midweek service times. If you are interested in helping in Sunday school, Awana, and or junior high department, please sign up at the welcome desk or see Connor Dalby. And for junior high, see Derek Vestal.
Don't miss the West Coast Baptist College Youth Summit held right here at Grandview on Friday and Saturday, October 29th and 30th. Dr. Jim Shetler and Nathan Burt will be the special speakers. The conference registration begins at 5:30 on Friday and ends after lunch on Saturday. The cost is $10, which includes a corn maze activity Friday night and lunch on Saturday. For questions or more information, please see TJ Gardner.
There will be ushers at the back doors if you would like to give your offering as you exit. If this is your first time here, we want to answer your questions and get to know you. Please fill out a Connects card in the pew in front of you and bring it to guest services as you exit the auditorium. We would love to meet you and give you a gift card. Have a great afternoon, and we'll see you tonight at 5.
Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Give us safety as we travel home and bring us back again tonight. I pray you'll be with those who are carrying burdens, maybe are overwhelmed, or maybe just need your comforting hand. May you please, Lord, wrap your arms around them, keep them close. Lord, be with those who are maybe facing challenges this week. Give them direction and guidance through your word. And just pray that you'll wrap your arms around us all. Keep us close to you. We sure do love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. You are dismissed.